As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. All right, Devin, what do you got for us today?
We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they're hard.
What do you think? It's pretty good. That was pretty good. Yeah, because they are hard.
Because they are hard.
That New York, Boston, New York family accent.
Boston.
We choose to go to the moon
or New England, whatever the Kennedys are.
Yeah, it's that. It's like in New York. Yeah, high end Boston, New York type thing.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things.
That's funny, and do the other things? That's part of the quote?
Yeah, he put that in there. You know, he's like, and everything else.
We're doing it all.
You know, those other things.
You know, like, run a country. We choose to go to the moon. That's cool.
So I did this one because you probably don't know this, Dustin. So we're fans of the Everyday Astronaut channel on YouTube.
Yes.
Yep. He does really great live broadcasts of launches and SpaceX launches and Blue Origin and everybody who's shooting into space. Mm-hmm. So there was just an announcement about 4 hours ago. He is going to be on the on SpaceX Starship to go around the moon.
No way.
Way.
That's awesome.
So there was this Japanese billionaire, and he bought all the seats on like the first trip.
Right.
And he decided to, he wanted to get artists and creators and all different types of people from all over, which is pretty cool to buy up all the seats and do that.
Yeah, right.
So you have photographers and filmmakers and all this different stuff. And they picked Tim Dodd.
Nice.
From the Everyday Astronaut. He's going to be going on like the first trip.
That's great. That's isn't that awesome. Great? Like good job. It was his his trajectory from where he started to what he's doing now is so cool, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not that long ago that he was just a photographer, you know, and silly pictures of himself in spacesuits at different places. Now he's one of the foremost, you know, authorities on rockets and space. Obviously he's, you know, he's done a ton of research. He knows a ton about it now, you know, and he's not a scientist, but when you want to know about something that has to do with space in this day and age, I look for his stuff.
Yeah.
And I want to know about these new rockets. And you look up a video, and he has all this information about it. And, you know, it's so cool.
I think great. What's his the slogan, bringing space down to earth for everyday people, something like that. And it's true.
Right.
I mean, it's really great. If you have any interest in it all, go, I guess I'll cheat and use an early recommendation. Go, go check him out. I think I've already recommended him before, but, his broadcasts are great. And now they got this, they made this, they took this old TV truck and put a like 4K streaming studio in it. So now they take that to all the launches and they set up from there. And it's really cool. So
yeah, the last launch, or at least the one that I watched, where it was like sending the mission that was the unmanned mission to go around the moon and back.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that one and that was great. You know, like all the like slow motion close up footage they got of the rocket taking off was crazy. Like super good, you know, like quality, high def, like, oh man. And like, yeah, it was just so cool.
Yeah, it's great to see someone who's purely, not purely, but mainly their enthusiasm for a subject make them into a popular channel, or obviously his knowledge too.
Right.
But just the enthusiasm I think he gets for it, he has, it's fun to watch his streams and launches and stuff. So yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
He will be going around the moon with a bunch of other people, and it's going to be, talk about some content, huh?
Oh my gosh, I know, right? Yeah,
man, he's stacked. He's going to have all these great videos and who knows, and streams.
And all the build up, and I'm sure he'll talk about all the stuff he has to do to get ready, and you know, all the gear and stuff. You know, oh man, that's so cool. I'm so happy for him. That's so awesome. You know, and that's, you know, like that's his dream, I'm sure. You know, after like all this, like that's what he wants. You know, he wants to be there. He wants to get out into space.
So, I mean, you know, we don't know him, but I think from what I've seen, I think he deserves it. He seems like a good guy. So
he does. Yeah. 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 That's awesome. That's crazy. I wonder like when he found out, like obviously you said, if you found out 4 hours ago, he made the announcement or something, the announcement was made, but you know, like,
no, I just saw it on his YouTube channel before we got on. So that's why I brought it up. He knew for a while, he said, because he had to go through multiple interviews and health checks and and meet the other people that might be going, and it was a long process. So I think he's been in the running for a while, and then maybe found out. Who knows how recent he found out, but man, so exciting.
Yeah, nice. That's sweet. So, yeah, I mean, like, and I feel like we have been to the moon before, and you know, like that, like the quote from Kennedy, you know, just like about like at that point in time, the technology in the 60s, you know, is like so much different than it is now. The fact that we can, you know, launch like rockets and like shuttles and things into space, and then have those solid rockets come back down and land and be able to be used again. Like, that's crazy, you know, all on their own. The fact that there's like a completely automated, you know, mission right now that a rocket goes up into space, flies to the moon and around the moon for a certain amount of time. It's still out there, I think, or I'm not sure.
I think it was supposed to be. It's on its way back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was like going to orbit the moon for like it's just crazy, the technology now that like we can do it, we can have it do it completely on its own and like multiple times and test it to make sure it's completely safe for humans, or at least rule out, you know, 99% of the, you know, possibilities of things that could go wrong. And then, you know, and then by the time we do it with people, it's like all those boxes have been checked. It's just crazy. It's so cool.
No, it's very exciting. So that'll be fun to watch. Who knows how long. When SpaceX will be able to shoot off Starship, they still need like FDA
they need to make sure the food is good. Just pure beef.
Those what do you call them? Space ice cream. You know, they gotta double check that.
Get to make sure the FDA is good for the space.
Yeah,
That's purely, you know, pasteurized milk being used in that space ice cream. They get those foil packets with the like Neapolitan ice cream in it.
Yes, those were so good.
Those were good. You know, you go to like the science center for a field trip and come back with like 4 packs of space ice cream. You're like, yes, greatest day of my life.
Who ate my space ice cream?
Derek.
But yeah, so that's cool. Oh, and so then I also wanted to say, I don't know if people do things because they're hard necessarily, or they don't go into it wanting to do it because it's hard.
Right.
I think they're hopeful that it will be easier than hard. But maybe you do things because they're hard alone, but I don't know if that's true. It's a nice thing to say in general. Like, we're not just going to do the easy things. Right. We're going to do the hard things because they're hard. And maybe that's the point. And in the context of the space race and the Cold War, yeah, maybe it's right. Like, hey, we're going to do the hard things. We're going to do them first. But, you know, I don't know. It depends. It's like, are you going to take on, and if you bring it down to maker, are you going to take on something just because it's hard?
Right.
Obviously, if it's too easy, maybe you won't. Like, maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's definitely, it depends on, well, I would say there's like levels of challenge, right? So if you think about it in that way, like we want to do this not because it's easy, but because it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a given that it can happen, that it can be done. You know, that it's like, it's going to take some persistence and it's going to take some, you know, some diligence and a lot of time, a lot of effort, and there's going to be a lot of struggles and a lot of failures, but we're going to try to get there anyway. You know, mm-hmm. So maybe all those things combined together, the easiest way to say that is hard. Mm-hmm. Although, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, we're going to do it. Yeah. It was just a good opposite. You know, we're not doing it because it's easy, but we're doing it because it's hard. Right. You know, but because there is a challenge to it, and because it's not just it's just not the next day and doing the next thing. It's like, this is a challenge that our country wants to take on because it is a challenge, because it's something that we think is, you know, right and correct to try to do.
Right.
And someone's got to do it. So, you know, let's take it on and do it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think.
Who knows what the speechwriter or Kennedy or who wrote that, like, what were they going through? How many times had people brought up this thing being hard? Or definitely a lot of people brought up, we shouldn't be spending the money on this.
Right, yeah.
We got all these other issues. But maybe people kept saying, like, it's going to be hard, and it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. So it's just like, yeah, we do it because it's hard. Like, maybe that.
Right,
like,
yeah, exactly.
You know what? We don't do it because it's easy. We do it because it's hard. We do it because we want to reach and explore and stretch out our wings as humans. It is hard, and that's why we're doing it.
Right, and a lot of times the because it's hard or because it's challenging is the reason why it's so satisfying when you do
mm-hmm.
something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, anyone can hit, you know, anyone could swing a golf club and hit a golf ball, but to hit like a golf ball straight down the fairway, you know, and get a hole in one is hard. It takes a lot of practice and challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, it's like, yeah, I could have for the Dirk, you know, I could have just done a handle that was just straight handle, but I wanted to carve, you know, not work into it because it was hard, because I knew that it'd be a challenge, and the outcome of the challenge would be something very satisfying and very like gratifying that I was able to do that thing, you know, that like getting to the end and having that feeling of completion and gratification of doing this thing and knowing that you challenge yourself to get there is a lot of the reason why you take those paths that are challenging, because you know that there's going to be a potential for a really satisfying ending.
You're right. That's why I don't use cheat codes in video games. What's the, what's the point?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Wrap it up with that.
That's why we don't use cheat codes in video games. Yeah, it's funny. Corinne and Nicole and I have just kind of randomly been playing Zelda. We've been playing Zelda for like 4 years because it's such a good game, the Breath of the Wild, but we've been playing a little bit more recently and trying to finish some of the, like the shrine challenges and the little side challenges and things that we have kind of stacked up. And, we have explored the entire world. So if you're not familiar with Zelda Breath of the Wild, it's a big open concept world, and you can teleport different areas based off of places you've been. So if you've secured these different areas, you can teleport to certain places in those areas. And a lot of the times, you know, if we have to, if we're just trying to do a challenge, we'll just like zoom across the landscape and go here, you know, teleport somewhere else and then do whatever it is there and then go back. But then all a right. lot, also sometimes we'll just like just travel by foot, you know, it's like, all right, you got to go all the way across to Gerudo, you know, from whatever, Akala stable, all the way across the entire, like, you know, land of Hyrule. And, you know, it's like, all right, grab a horse and, you know, find the best track and try to make it there without, like, dying.
Right. That becomes, I think we've lost. Yeah.
No
pun intended, we've lost track of what makes games fun. Mm-hmm. Like, now modern games, not only will they tell you what to do and where to go, there'll be like a line, a glowing line on the screen of exactly where to go. Like,
right, yeah.
It's like when you put something in a GPS to get somewhere, you kind of, for everything around you becomes, you're not looking around. You're checking your phone, checking your phone, checking your phone, checking your phone. Yeah. Left, how far left? Okay, what's this turn like? Oh, here comes a stuff. Like, you don't see anything. I think that's with video games too. They give you so much info,
right?
That you don't get to enjoy the game, but
yeah, the freedom,
the journey.
All
right. So we started nice and nerdy on the first.
Yeah, right. Space and video games.
Space and video games and Zelda. Let's talk about some man stuff. What are we cutting stuff up, making knives?
Yeah, right, exactly. Actually, well, what are you drinking right now? You drinking anything?
Oh yeah,
Moscow Mule.
Well, I know I didn't. Well, I did have time because Dustin was late to the podcast.
Late to the podcast,
but I didn't want to go back out. I started with a Southern Tier 2xmas or 2xmas spice double ale. Really good.
Oh, okay, yeah, because they had their 2x. Like usually it's just the 2x or whatever.
Yeah.
But, 2x. So it's a Southern Tier like Christmas. Mm-hmm. Mix pack or something. All right.
And then one I really like is a Sierra Nevada Celebration.
Ah, that is
fresh,
a good
fresh
one.
Up. The kind of red can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
I actually got 12 of those, which a lot of times I get variety packs just for the fun of it. But I was like, I really like these. So
yeah, I almost bought that same 12 pack the other day. I was looking, I was like, the Celebration. I wonder if I get that. You know, look at the Sierra Nevadas because it's like that. You got like hazy little thing next to it. Yeah, it's such a good mix of stuff they do now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
So I asked specifically because I was just drinking a Red Hook winter ale. And I just finished it, or at least finished the half that I was drinking, because Nicole and I have been drinking one beer from our Advent calendar beer box every day since December 1st. So we're on day 8, although I'm kind of one day behind on Instagram, because when you came over to film on Tuesday, our power went out at 5:30. And so I wasn't able to open the fridge and get the beer out. So I was like, the next day we're two behind. So, but yeah, I just finished up. It's called Winter Ale, something like that. I'm reading the picture, Winter Shook. I'm reading from the picture of the beer on my phone. But Red Hook Winter Ale, that was a really good beer. And it's been really fun. I think yesterday we had like a pineapple beer and then an IPA because we made up for that other day. And I went into my bedroom because my wife was in the bedroom working on a homework assignment for her class. And she was just sitting there on the bed, like on her laptop. And I like poked my head in. I was like, all right, I got your first beer for the day. I was like, you're not going to like it. But she's like, what is it? She like smelled it. She's like, it smells like a... And she said, like, a pineapple popsicle or whatever like that. I was like, because it was, like, a pineapple hoppy beer or whatever. So it was definitely fruity. It's hard because a lot of times our our minds mix the fruity smell and taste with sweetness. You know, so it's like if it tastes like pineapple, then you imagine the sweetness of pineapple.
Right.
But, like, it wasn't there. It was, like, you know... It's carbonated, so it's got like the fizziness, and it had the bitterness of beer, and then the like the nose of pineapple. So she's like, "Oh, it tastes really sweet." And I was like, "Well, it's not really sweet." She's like, "Yeah, it's like, I guess it's bitter, but it reads as sweet because it's so fruity, you know." So,
right.
But but it's been fun. It's been fun, you know, looking forward to one beer day. Although it's really it's a struggle to not just drink more of the beers, you know, because they're there. I'm like, I only have one of these. I was like, I got to get a whole nother like 12 pack of beer just to drink a normal beer each night because I can only drink half of this thing.
You like that, you go back to Brian or whoever gave it to you and be like, all right, well, I drank the first half month. It's two a day, right? Like,
yeah, right. Where's the second?
Yeah, there's two, yeah, right. So I need you know, December.
We're ready for the second.
11th, 12th comes around.
Yeah, right. But then, so I had to get a substitution pack of beers because, you know, I had to get more beer because they're just drinking half a beer a day. Can't do that. So, I got the Founders All Day Haze. You know how they have like the All Day IPA, and then they have the what's the other one? Is the what is it? I can't remember off the top of my head. But now they have an All Day Haze, so it's like a session hazy IPA. It's really good. I'm all about it. So, and it came in a 15 pack. Cannot beat the 15 pack.
Oh yeah.
It's like, I think all 12 packs should now be 15 packs.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll get greedy and I'll be like, I want a 12 pack, but I want two different sixes, so I'll just buy two sixes. And they're always a little bit too expensive, and they just with the taxes. Yeah, more like, than I think.
Damn.
You go with two sixes, they're like, and that'll be $34.20. You're like, ah, what did I buy?
Really? These are 16 a piece?
Right.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I just came back after Thanksgiving, came back from Vermont, and had bought, I brought back, two 4-packs, one of the Alchemist Heady Topper, and then one of Focal Banger. So, like, really good IPAs. They're both ones that have been in, like, the top 10 of the Beer Advocate charts online for, you know, years and years. So I got those two 4-packs, and then I got another 4-pack of, this is kind of a funny thing. So up in New England, there are, on houses, there are what they call witch windows. And a witch window is a normal window that has been turned sideways because it goes up a stairwell. So they like put a window in a stairwell, and then they just turn the window, and it goes the same angle as the stairs. So there's like these rectangular windows that are turned, you know, 45 degrees. As they call them witch windows, and Nicole always comments that she really likes them and would love to be in a house that had a witch window. And so I was like looking for some beers one night at like the local beer store. Like they have nice like craft beer store. And I got those, the Focal Banger and the Heady Topper. And then there was like a 4-pack of an ale that was called like Witch Window Brewing or something. So I got those. I got a 4-pack of that. And then the two 4-packs of the Alchemist beers. And it was like, I don't know. It was a lot. It was like $40, $45 or something for like 12 beers. I was like,
oh yeah.
Oh, but it's like, you know, and they were 16 ounces. So like they're all taller beers. So it wasn't just 12. So, you know, I'm getting like, got to imagine maybe say 5 beers instead of 6, you know, instead of, you know, so it's like, but still,
yeah.
I was like,
oh yeah, those 4-packs,
maybe expensive. $50 or something. It was, yeah, it was expensive. So,
yeah,
but it's so good. Oh my gosh. They're so good. The beer's delicious. I was like, it maybe not 100% worth it, but it was worth it. But then, you know, that being said, like if I would have gone, you know, like we always say that if you go to a bar and you buy two or three beers at a bar, you know, they're like $7 or $8 a piece, you know, so.
Yeah, good old days.
yeah.
I used to have a place up in Frederick where I used to go with my buddy Steve, and it was dollar PBRs.
Damn.
Draft, so a big pint of PBR for a buck.
Nice.
And that was, man, I'd go up there with $10. Literally a $10 bill and be like, I'm good. And I can I can do two beers. And you know, if you do two beers at once, you only have to a buck.
Dang, so
you get an extra beer on the end. Hey, you gotta make it
one time each time you go up to the bar.
Well, you take turns buying two beers. You just two dudes.
Yeah.
And just throw them a buck. They're pouring a PBR draft.
Right, yeah.
A dollar's fine for two.
No, I agree. Yeah, because
if you make me a cocktail, I'll throw you a couple bucks. But if you're just doing a quick pour of PBR.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my, you know, standard is like a buck a beer. That's usually what I do as a tip.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I guess, yeah, what you're saying. I mean, if it's like...
When you literally only have $10, you got to work it a little bit.
You're like, I'm not going to drink just five beers, so...
Yeah.
As well have maybe extra, pretend especially to forget PBR.
Once. Just, you know...
And pretend to forget once. Oh, sorry. I forgot the tip.
Oh, yeah. I'll get you. I'll get you next time. I'll
get you at the end.
And you break a 10.
Here's 50 cents.
Oh, good old days.
Yeah, but it's... yeah. So, going back to what we were mentioning about the power going out, that was fun. So, so Devin came over on Tuesday to start shooting a new video, which we ended up shooting the beginning of today, but you come over, I guess it was about 5:20 or something like that. We head down the shop, and we're down the shop for what, maybe 2 minutes. You know, we're just kind of moving around, getting things set up, and I forget where I was. I think I was over like grabbing a beer or something, or I forget what I was grabbing, but the lights went out and I thought, cause you were kind of around on the other side where the light switches are. And I thought you had unplugged the lights for some reason, you know, cause usually we'll go in the shop and like, if everything's not turned on, you'll walk around and turn stuff on all the lights that are all like switch lights.
Yeah.
And so I thought maybe you were messing with something and you turned off all the lights. I was like, what the heck? You know? And then like, then I realized that all the lights were out, you know, like, so it wasn't just like the strip lights, it was everything. And then I looked out the window and then you said you had heard a boom. I didn't hear it, but it definitely happened because,
yeah, I heard it.
Yeah. When I was, so we went upstairs and we're kind of hanging out and I reported it online, just did the, kind of, outage reporting. And so it popped up and the, it was probably about maybe 20 minutes or so after that, Nicole got home. And then maybe only 5 minutes or so after she got home, an actual truck came from Baltimore Gas and Electric, our electric company here in Baltimore, and was there like, and called her and was trying to ask about where it was coming from and you know, and whatever we knew about it. And so he had asked if there were any lines or any trees or anything down the lines. And Nicole had just driven up our driveway. So she was like, no, but I was like, well, let me go out and check. And I could see that he was down at the end. So I just walked out and kind of, you know, walked down and looked at the lines and it was all clear. And I went down and talked to the guy and we were chatting. He was kind of, he had looked briefly at the pole, the power pole right at the end of our driveway. And he looked at it and he'd seen, or he kind of, he diagnosed that it had come, you know, that had blown from that pole. And our neighbors directly across the street from us, their power was out as well, including the two houses on the property right next to ours as well. And we all come from that same pole. So he knew it was kind of isolated there. And then while we were out there, the woman who is in the house from across the street came down and she kind of was like, hey, you know, like blah, 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 our power's out. She's like, I heard this big bang. And she's like, I think that our like power thing here blew up and it's a brand new house. So. He was like, we'll figure it out. You know, it was funny though, but as she was walking down, he was like, oh, here we go. Here comes somebody. Somebody wants to come talk to us. I'm like, it's funny because that's like literally what I did was walk down the driveway to talk to him.
But, yeah. But also, he's complaining, but he's also asking people questions.
Yeah. But he was like, I guess I'm sure he's like used to people coming out and talking, asking all these questions and being you know, because it's always the same questions when you don't know, or it's the same statements. Like, yeah, I heard this bang, and then all the lights went out, and I tried my blah, 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 blah. You know, like, I'm sure he hears the same thing every time, and they want to put in their 2 cents of what they think it might be. And, you know, I just walked down. I was like, yeah, you were talking to my wife. I just checked the lines. I didn't see any branches or anything, so. And he was like, okay. And then he was talking to me and kind of giving me the lowdown. But he had apparently just finished up like a 12-hour shift. And they called him and they were like, yeah, come by here. You know, it should be really quickly. The people's power's out, but it says they're still getting power, whatever. And he was like, yeah, they asked me to come over because they said it would be a really quick job. And then 11 hours later, our lights come back on.
Hopefully they sent him home.
Yeah. He said he actually lived right nearby, so. He was waiting for another truck to come because they were going to have to bring in some underground stuff because apparently that new line was underground, which most new lines are, and they had to figure it out. But so, yeah, you end up leaving, and then maybe 10 minutes after you left, Nicole and Corinne and I went out and got some food and came back probably about an hour later, maybe an hour and a half later, and our neighbor, or like across the street neighbor, their lights were all back on. So we were like, all right, cool, their lights are on. And I just like look over toward our house and it's all just still pitch black. I was like, fortunately, we have phones and, you know, laptops and stuff. So it didn't really matter. We just basically did the same thing we normally do, is just hang out and play on our phones. Like, we could have, like, pulled up a laptop and watched a movie or something, but we were just kind of just chilling. And then went to bed, and about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning, the lights came on in our bedroom and the fans all came on, and I could see the lights all out in the living room because we had, you know, everything gone out. We hadn't turned off any lights or anything. So I got up and walked around and shut everything off, and then yeah, that was it. So but it was like, we were like just about to start. We're like, all right, here we go, we're gonna start a new video. I was all excited because this new video that we're making is the sheep shear knives, which, if you follow us on Instagram, you have seen that I I posted not too long ago, about a month and a half ago or so, the two sheep shear knives that I made. So taking an old pair of sheep shears and cutting them apart and making them into kind of chef petty knives. And I have two more pairs of those sheep shears that I've been really itching to do. And like, when I made the first pair, I was, you know, right away, even before I made them, I was like, this would make a great video. But I wanted to like try one as like a prototype to see what I liked, because I'd seen a bunch of, like, once I saw, sometime in the last year, I saw somebody, and I wish I could remember who it was, make or post a set of sheep shear knives. And I was like, that's such a cool idea. Like, it's like a great shape. The sheep shears already have like this really nice shape that looks like kind of a Western chef's knife, but maybe 5.5 inches or so. And just the like whole idea that you have this whole metal piece that you then like form a handle that fits up into the metal handle and they fit together. And it's just a really elegant design. And so I was really excited to try it out. So I did the first set, and now I'm really excited to start the new one, which we just did tonight. It's cool. So yeah, we started out by starting to, you know, cut the shears into the two knives and shaped them a little bit, and then got those into a rust remover bath, and then started shaping down the handle wood, which is kind of funny because we were pulling out wood for the handles, and my intent was to do two different types of wood. I wanted to do two darker species. So like, I was thinking maybe a desert ironwood and a walnut or something like that. And I had pulled out what is Pacote, which is kind of a almost black and then yellow, you know, like usually some tight grain, but you kind of get some wild stuff. So I was like, okay, we'll do one Pacote, because that's like kind of a lighter, but it has some nice dark stuff. And then we'll do a darker one. So I was thinking I would do what I thought was like a rosewood, because it was really dark. And then it had this really light line of sapwood on one side. And I thought I remembered that being something like rosewood. So we cut a chunk of that. And then like, as I'm cutting it and it comes off from the bandsaw and it's like yellow and black almost. And I'm like, huh, yeah, that's weird. Like, is that just also more Bacote? You know, like, it might be. So then I like grind them all off and sand them off, and sure enough, it like I'm pretty sure it's the same exact thing. So
yeah, they're like twins.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, well, you know, if they're not going to be different, then they have to be the same. So obviously, but you know, they're either going to be like obviously different, or like, you don't want them to be just a slight, you know, you don't want like a dark brown and a medium dark brown, you know, like if they're going to be the same, make them the same, or if they're going to be different, then make them different. So, so hopefully this should be really nice. I'm excited. Got the wood shaped, and I actually went down, when you texted about jumping on, I was like, give me 5 minutes. So I could run downstairs and check those, knives in the bath. So they still needed more time. And I think it's just because my, the rust remover liquid is just older, so it's not as saturated anymore. But they're still down there. So I figured I'll just let them go for another hour and a half or so until we're done the podcast, and then I'll go down and pull them out. But yeah, it's exciting. I'm really excited to do that. I don't know 100% what I'm going to do with these. Nicole has shown interest in having one. So one might go to her, and then I'm undecided with what I'm going to do with the other one. I definitely will be selling more, because I sold the other two on Instagram and was really, you know, happy to sell them right away pretty much. And it's like a super fun project, and it's such like, I mean, I absolutely love the design. So, and it's relatively easy to do. So it's like the two things, right? It's an easy thing that I can kind of do quickly. that, you know, I can put my my own aesthetic into the handle shape, you know, and the grinding and make sure it's all really nice. But then, you know, it doesn't, it's not like it's, you know, and making an entire knife, which I don't often have the time to do because I'm, you know, I have all sorts of other things I do. So that's a nice thing to be able to do and then sell for kind of a moderate price, like not super expensive because it's not a fully custom knife. You know, it's a kind of starting from one thing and get to the end, but the novelty of it is, it's a cool, the novelty is cool, but they are beautiful. The shape is just so beautiful and it's really appealing and it's like just such a cool thing. So you get this, like that on that, that like interesting design, you know, the concept and the composition of this like nice design along with the novelty of it being, you know, made out of an old pair of sheep shears. Mm-hmm. So it's a cool thing. And I think they're really nice and because they're really, they have the blades are, they're convex or they're like one side is convex and the other side is concave. So it's actually like the whole blade has a little bit of, I guess what they kind of call it an S grind. So it's kind of thin, you know, one side and it kind of, yeah, like it's a, I don't know what that shape is called. You know, like the whole thing is like, is curved from the top to the bottom, because they're designed to be shears. So they're like, they're curved on the inside. So that way when they come together, it's just the very edge that's touching and you get like a really nice sharp cut. But because of that, it makes for really good edge geometry. So when I grind them, you know, one side gets a taller bevel and the other side gets a really fine bevel because it's on that curved, the inner curve, the concave side. But it makes a really like thin blade that has a really nice edge geometry. So there are so many aspects about them that are really cool. One of the things that I didn't like about them, and I may have talked this about it before, was just that like most of the handles that I've seen other people do on them, I didn't like. Yeah, they just didn't really do it for me. And I've seen a bunch of different ones since I started looking at them, and so I kind of had this idea of what I might do different. And I think my design's the best so far. You know, it's like I kind of took all the things that I didn't like about other designs and things that I like about other knife handle designs and kind of combine those things to make something that I thought would work really well. And after that first pair, I was really happy with the way they handled, and it was kind of a smaller handle, which is kind of nice for a smaller petty knife. And yeah, I'm really happy with it. So excited to finish this new video up.
Yeah, I think it looks really good with a really dark handle. And I know you don't want to stain or do anything towards it. But maybe in the future, some darker woods, which you tried to do, but like you said, I don't know. It's the, it's just a nice look. The dark one, kind of a dark, steel anyway, but.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You get the dark, the dark wood against that kind of like dark patina steel. Yeah, that's like very, shiny dark, you know, it is nice. Very slick. Yeah.
And it's that weathered wood look, not weathered as in beat up, but darker,
aged. Yeah. Right. Aged
dark, where it just gets the, I mean, all wood eventually gets oil and everything on it. It gets dark and dark and dark, but, it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely, you know, out of the first two that I made, one was the Osage orange and the other one was the desert ironwood, which is a really dark wood. And yeah, I definitely think the darker was nice. I tend to like darker handles anyway, but I think from what the outer edges of the, you know, seasoned wood that was in my wood rack, like it's a pretty dark, like almost like a, you know, chocolate brown with like some reddishes, you know, reddish to it. So it was like a really nice darkness to it. So, I'll see how that goes. I think once I oil it and, you know, let it like it, once it's all like, obviously as you're, sanding it, you get that, like the sawdust on the surface. So everything looks lighter, but I think once it's all cleaned up and polished and sanded all up and then oiled and buffed shiny, I think it'll have a nice middle like darkness to it. So we'll see, but that's what those two are going to be. And then I have another set. Now that I've been interested in them, that's another thing I've been looking for when I go to, you know, flea markets and antique stores and stuff. I'm like, I keep my eye out for more pairs of sheep shears because they just make really cool knives. I'm excited to make more.
I'll be looking now, and I'm sure maybe, I'm not sure, but people, if you start becoming the sheep shear knife guy, hopefully people right. just send them to you like they do other people who are focused yeah, right. into one thing, you know?
Yeah, they're like, oh, I know you've been looking for these. Like, yeah, here. I have an old pair in the barn. Yeah, you can have those.
yeah.
Yeah, no. And it's kind of cool because you get this, you know, obviously they're all old, you know, they're like at least 50, 60, 70 years old. So they oh, already yeah. have like a really yeah. great patina, and then they have, you know, some have like rust pitting and stuff, and all those just make interesting, you know, aesthetically interesting surfaces to the knife. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Now there's a little yeah. bit of not wanting to change the tool because it is such mm-hmm. a cool old tool right. and it's yeah. romantic and farmers using that to get the wool and so long ago, but what's better? Is it hanging it up on the wall or just sitting in an antique mall or thrift store, or you cut it up and use it as something else?
Right, repurpose it and give right. it a new life.
Because no one, almost no one, I mean, will ever use it like that again.
Yeah, and especially because, like, there are plenty of people that still do hand shearing with scissors, but it needs to be super sharp, and they need to be, you know, like, the geometry of how the edges come together need to be really, really good, because you're working with a live animal that you're, like, holding on the ground, and you're trying to do this, like, really quickly and not cut them all up. So, you know, like, even people that are still doing that by hand, which I'm sure there are tons of people in the world that are, they're probably using a newer pair, you know, than the historic ones that I'm finding, which are probably from, like, who knows, you know, the 60s or 50s or 40s, right?
Yeah.
Because they still make, you can buy a brand new set of, you know, hand scissor sheep shears you know, anywhere. Like, they still make them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not like, I'm sure there are people that are still using those old ones, but even, you know, you could still be using one from the 70s or the 80s, you know, and it'd still be 50 years old. So, like,
right. Yeah.
So I don't feel bad. And also, you know, when I can go out and buy something for like $7 or $8, you know, that it's obviously, it's not, something that is scarce, right? like really high right. demand, you know, like if I were to pay like $200 for a pair of sheep shears, I'm not going to, maybe I'd make them into knives. Who knows? But you know what I mean? Like that just, It represents the scarcity of it. And so the fact right. that I can usually find them for less than $10 or maybe less than 20, who knows? It's like, that's because they're all over the place. You know, people, vendors at flea markets don't just make up random prices. They look at the market and they figure out what the price is and then they put those on there and try to get mm-hmm. stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can find a good, you know, somebody who just doesn't know and they put a price on something. But usually, you know, if that's what they do, they kind of know, at least generally. So it's like, you know, doing the half hatchet modifications. I don't feel bad about that because half hatchets are, you know, a dime a dozen around here on the East Coast. We can find them all over the place.
Yeah. 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 If you guys don't know, you can hear Dustin's answer to that, to a troll question on our YouTube, best questions or five questions videos we've been doing. And I just got done editing one and it will be up tomorrow, you know, while this goes out. So, you know, if you listen yeah. to it early, this will be the five questions one will be coming out in the afternoon sometime.
Does that one have a question about the half hatchet heads? Is that, or is that like, is that what you're?
It does as far, I think the question is about tempering.
Ah, okay.
Not right, getting right. it too hot, you know, and you're yeah, talking about how getting right. careful, being careful.
Right.
This one's troll question is about having Maeve in the video.
Corinne.
Jeez.
one of our daughters.
You know. Yeah. Corinne in the video. Yeah. And I don't know, did you like great. The thumbnail? I went with
I did, yeah. No, I thought that was great. And I liked the title, you know, the thumbnail title. I think that was fun. It's, you know, they're like just clickbaity enough to be like clickbaity and funny, you know, which is kind of what we're trying to do with it, you know, because like you have, like we do answer our troll questions. So we use the troll question to do the thumbnail. And so it is a little clickbaity, but you know, if it's a five questions, blah, blah, blah. People understand what it is. Or hopefully, you know, if the more we do them, people understand what they are, you know. So they'll get
right,
the concept.
Right. And we're not, yeah, you are answering that exact question.
Right, exactly.
Clickbait is kind of when you say something that doesn't really come true.
Right.
Or it's like, you won't believe what happened, or I'm so upset, blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out that's not what it is.
Right. Yeah.
No, the title is what someone said, and then the thumbnail is kind of the idea of what that person said. And then you're answering it right away. Right. There's no like at the end of the video or somewhere in the middle. It's like you answer what they're coming to see right away.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, exactly. So they're like, huh? What's that clickbait? They click the video, and then I'm talking.
And then
about
I mean,
that
in the first 5 seconds, it is blah 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 says, or it's trolly Trollerson says,
troll from Trolltown.
We don't say their name. and then it goes on, and then you answer right away. So I mean, and then if you want to stay for the five other questions, which aren't trolly, and then a
show and tell.
That's up to you.
Yeah, those are fun. I actually really enjoyed doing that video. It's nice because, you know, we always do multiple takes. So the fact that that's a much more like, almost feels like a live stream, right? It feels like you're just chatting to people. So it's like, let's go through the questions and we'll, you know, and just answer them the way we answer them, you know? And it's like, I think there may have been a time or two where I kind of like restated an answer like a different way. Thinking that, like, depending on how you wanted to edit it, you could pull one from the other if I was kind of, like, messing up over my words. But it's not usually that big of a deal when I'm in the mindset of, like, talking to people and answering questions. I don't normally mess up my words, you know, because it's like, because I'm thinking as I'm going. It's when I'm trying to say the same thing over again multiple times, then I'll mess up along the way,
right?
Because I'm trying to remember the order that I said something,
and
not just talking,
points,
you know?
Right.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So,
no, and then it comes out. It's not. I don't chop a lot out. There's some stuff. Mm-hmm. If you repeat what you said, or there's a lot of I won't just
right. Yeah, just
I won't cut out one because that's just the flow of conversation. But if you're like thinking for a while, I might trim that out and get
right
to it.
Yeah, I noticed there were just like a few cuts and stuff, and I was like,
yeah.
I mean, it all felt like really succinct, and you know, it was good. So didn't feel glitchy or anything, or not glitchy, you know, like choppy.
Yeah, it's kind of that style anyway. So
yeah, I did. As we were sitting there eating dinner before we jumped onto the podcast, I showed Corinne and Nicole the picture that you sent, and then I was telling them about it. So we watched the troll question intro while we were sitting there. Yeah. It's so nice. It's like, it's such a, I don't know. I like the feel of these videos. They feel really casual, really like you're just sitting down chatting with somebody about some stuff, you know? And that's a really nice feeling. And I know that we've talked about like Adam Savage with his like question videos and things where he does his live streams and answers a bunch of questions and then they'll chop that up and put him back out. But that's like, it feels like that, you know, it feels like that just hanging out, chatting with people and answering direct questions, which is what we do during the live streams. So the videos feel very casual that way.
But I like not taking them from a live stream, and I like having bookends of interesting things.
Yeah, right.
The interesting thing of the troll question in the beginning, and then the interesting thing with show and tell.
Right.
I think those are two really good bookends, and then you have just five general interesting questions that we think people might want to know or might want to hear about. I think it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree too. So. And you know, people are watching them, so that's cool.
Right.
Yeah. That's what they're there for. And that's what we kind of talked about. You know, originally we were thinking that we would do one a week. You know, just try to do them consistently one a week. But we were thinking, well, you know, the idea would be to get a video up a week. So on those weeks where we actually have a new full video ready to go, then that week will be used for that video. And then the following week we'll just do, you know, if we don't have anything ready to go out that next week, then we can do another questions video.
Right.
So we get content out there, you know, often. And that's the main key is just to make sure we just have more content for people.
Yeah.
More consistency. That's right. The key. That's the key always.
We're trying.
Yeah. And I am on my last week of my current online course for this semester. So super happy for that. And then another, I have two more discussion assignments to do and that'll be done, which is, it's just another thing, you know, like when you and I are trying to schedule stuff, it's like, you know, it's always something. There's always like something else, right? Cause we obviously have full lives. You know, we're like, we don't do this full time or professionally. So everything that we do for the channel and the podcast and all is just done in our extra, you know, our quote unquote free time. So,
right.
So that gets in the way. I have, but that I have one more or two more technically assignments for that, that I'll do before Saturday and then I'll be done. And then I'll have until, you know, the middle of maybe January, February, March, something like that before the next class starts. We'll have a couple months to have some more free time. And also before summer gets back up and sailing gets back up and baseball and everything else. So yeah, that's, it's just nice. Yeah.
We're going to get to work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a crappy Christmas light season.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You get those blue lights everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Trash.
Trash.
Remember, it's trash. Trash. Yeah, my wife and I have a driving over to the in-laws house and stuff. And, I mean, everywhere we kind of go now is like 45 minutes. We're 45 right. minutes from pretty much everything. So it's we're always back roads, and you're like, it's fun to look at the houses, but also to make fun of them. Like the projector houses, like trash, like my lazy trash, and then the super bright LED lights that are just horrific.
Horrific.
Like, how does anyone want? How do you look at it and go like, "Oh, that's great"?
I was talking to our friends Kate and Sean about like just Christmas lights and stuff, and they're like, how do people do, like, you know, there's like the super professional looking Christmas lights where you don't see any, like, no dangling random strap of light that's got to be plugged in somewhere. Like, how do they do that? Kate's like, what are they doing? Like, how are they plugged in when they just like perfectly go around the top edge of your roof and just disappear? Like, what's happening? Go around like a door and like all is perfect. And actually our neighbors have a set like that, and they have these two little signs right out in the front yard that's like, we'll hang your Christmas tree lights, you know? So whichever company that did it for them, like, they put their signs out and they're like, we'll do it for you. I'm like, man, that's a lucrative business right there.
Which neighbors across the street? The new house?
Yeah, the new house. Yep. There's little signs.
Their house is blinged up.
It is blinged up.
Like, it is full. But see,
it's got the string of lights everywhere.
When you look almost too nice, then you just look like a restaurant.
Right, exactly. Yes.
And then you're not doing it yourself, so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And their trees are all lit up red. It looks a little creepy.
It does look a little.
Like, do red and green at least, not just
right, exactly.
Welcome.
Yeah, they're all like,
they're all red and lights. Yeah, like dead trees. I mean, they're not dead, obviously, but it's Christmas, so they're just like.
Yeah. Now, I'm happy with my lights. You know, they're the Christmas lights that I put up 2 years ago. And they're still up, and I use them all the time because they're the lights that light up our house when I need to go around to the shop or, you know, hang out in the backyard.
Yeah.
So, like, nice lights. We had, like, a warm LED that goes underneath the eaves of our house all the way on three sides. So, it's, like, the three sides that you can see from the road. And then just, it's, like, nice and simple. You know, simple. Like, we have some like, garland stuff to go around the front porch, and we might put a couple, you know, strings of lights there that go up around that and kind of do the railings and stuff. But, you know,
yeah. Nice. The word you want to find, folks, is incandescent. That's what you want to find.
Incandescent.
Little mini fires.
The little ones that'll burn your house down.
That's right, baby.
That's good stuff.
And then people, like what, they say like they're going to save money with LEDs?
Yeah, right.
How are you going to save $5 this month if you make your yard look like a mall cell phone, like, store?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Bright, nasty LED lights. It's brutal.
A cell phone. So, yeah, it does look like that. You know, you, like, drive by a Verizon store and it looks like that. It's all lit up with the weird colors and stuff. white lights, or do you have colored lights on your house?
White. And I don't mind colored, traditional. Yeah, I don't mind color either. And even, I mean, and LED, see, the thing is, LED lights are getting better. They figured out how to warm them up a little bit, and
yeah, like that's what we have.
So, some are pretty good, and but people still have these weird blues and purples and really sharp, bright whites where the colors are all off. Like,
right, yeah,
it's really harsh. I don't know how people don't notice.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You want that, like,
it's
that glow.
It's a warm. It's fire. That's what we like as humans. Yeah. That's what we've huddled around for. You know, who knows how many years? It's fire. It's always been fire.
Yeah.
Not, I don't know, computer screen glow. Like, at
the right. Ooh, doing? Yeah. That computer screen warmth. That's real.
And I appreciate people doing it anyway. Like,
right.
Getting out there and putting their decorations up. So I don't want to poo-poo on that, but it looks rough.
But even still, but still, it looks like trash.
It's trash. You trash.
You trash. Yeah, we got our Christmas tree last weekend, which is nice. And it's funny. we actually were looking to go to Doyle's Tree Farm, which is the one that we've gone to the last couple years. And Doyle's. When we were looking for it, we're like looking, and Nicole knew where it was on the map, and she was like checking on Google Maps, and she was like, I don't see anything there. And then she was like, wait, last year, didn't we see like a sign that the house was for sale? And yeah, and sure enough, they're not there anymore. They're there. They're just not like a tree farm anymore.
Yeah. And you asked
what they
me.
Do. Yeah, you're right. I was like, what's the name of that place? Because I knew you guys had gone there before or whatever. Or like, yeah. Man, you're like, and it's Doyle's and it's gone.
It's gone. Well, I called up the voicemail and it was like, hey, this is whatever, John Doyle. After 52 years and blah, 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 sadly, we are retiring. There are no more trees.
Dang.
If you want to go, and my brother has a farm up in Redline, blah, 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 you can go check him out. Thank you. Goodbye. Like, it was the saddest.
That's crazy.
Saddest thing. Oh. So we actually went to the tree farm. Is that where you went?
Mm-mm.
No?
No, we didn't end up going up that far. But no, I'm glad. That's funny. I didn't know that was the connection. That's why you guys went up there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we went to, I forget what it was called. Somewhere, it was like up near Nicole's work, I guess, you know, like kind of closer to you, like, well, yeah. Was it Troyer Road just south of 23 or kind of goes down, and then there's like a sharp turn in the road. If you're coming down here, you know, it's like that sharp turn with that house on the corner with all the trees and stuff around it.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you go straight there, so like if you're coming to my house from your house and you're going along 23, you go past Nicole's work and you make the right onto Troyer. Uh-huh. And then it's like straight for a while, and then it makes that sharp left turn, you know, with that little house in the corner, or like the house in the corner with all the trees on it on the road. If you go straight there, it's like a quarter mile down the road there. There's a tree farm. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. It was, I think it was $80 for trees, which are just, yeah, they're crazy. Getting expensive.
They are.
But no, it was nice. They had an okay selection. It wasn't great, but it was fine. Wasn't super busy. It was very muddy though. And they have like, they don't have a driveway going in. It's just like they're driving up like through the dirt and up to the hill. And we brought my pickup truck, which does not have four-wheel drive. It just has rear-wheel drive. And coming through the entryway, I was like real muddy there. And I like just barely made it through and kind of drove up the hill. And I was like, hopefully I don't have to go back out that way, because I won't be able to. I will not be getting back out that way. Where we found another way out. If you like drive down to the end of the field, and there was a driveway down there. So I did that on the way out. I was like, I don't know, here we go. But yeah.
It's nice. All part of the fun. Yeah,
exactly.
So I was at work, and we have some younger student workers and younger workers in general. And there's this young black girl I was working with, and I was explaining how much I was complaining about how much trees are now. And she's like, "You did what?" I was like, "Well, yeah, we went out to a farm and got our trees." She's like, "Oh, you get real trees?" I was like, "Yeah, you know." And she said, "I don't think I've ever had a real tree." So we were talking with everyone in the room, in the control room, about who has real trees and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. But then I'm sitting here having to explain myself about the amount of money I spent. And she's like, you had to cut it down yourself? Like, they didn't have it there? I was like, well, no, you know, that's kind of a part of it. Like, you go out and do it. She's like, you got to, like, take a tractor out to cut your own tree down. And it was, whatever, $80. And how far did you drive? I was like, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. You drove 40 minutes to get on a tractor to pay $80, cut your own tree down. I was like, well, if you say it like that, it doesn't seem right. I get it.
Yeah, right.
I was like, it's like a part of the experience, and then they do it. And she's like, I guess. Like, okay. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. It's kind of crazy.
Well, that's, I mean, I don't know if it used to be different, but I just feel like when I first started getting my own trees, you know, like shortly after college when Nicole and I got married, they were like $40 or $45. You know, you go out and cut a tree down. It was by the height. You know, if you wanted a really tall tree, it would be like, it would start at 40 and then it would be like $10 a foot, you know? So if you got like a 7 foot tree, it'd be like $50, and the 8 foot tree would be $60, you know? So it was like, it was reasonable. And it's, again, it's the experience of going out and cutting down a tree and putting that fresh tree into your house. Like that's a great experience. It's really, you know, it's something that's part of the season. But yeah, then now it's like, so for a few years we were getting trees from the local fire department when they would partner with the Boy Scouts and they would do, you know, tree sales. And so they were like $65, and then they were like $75. And then last year they were like $90. And I was like, what the heck? So we like went and found Doyle's, which I think Doyle's was like 70 or something, or maybe even 65. No, Doyle's
was $50.
Was it $50?
$50.
Yeah, so you know, I was like, can't beat that. And now it's like everything is expensive. What was the one up near you? Was it 75, you said?
It was 75, which is actually, 75. Yeah, like you said, relatively deal. Because it is kind of cool. Yeah. You go on like a tractor, and they drive you out to it, and then you cut it. They have sleds and saws there, so you really don't have to bring anything. And they'll throw on the back of the tractor. They'll take it. Someone pulls it off, you know, wraps it up for you, shakes it. You know, they're like...
Yep. Yeah.
They have their stuff down.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But that's another thing. That's why it's so expensive. They've got, like, literally probably 30 employees doing all these different things.
Right, exactly.
And Doyle's had 2 or 3 guys.
Yeah.
and a tree farm.
Yeah. Well, the place I went, which was $80, had 3 guys.
Oh.
Yeah. Damn. And right, yeah. And then just, like, the one-time use plastic netting stuff, which we didn't use because we had the pickup truck. I was like, no, thank you. Please do not put that on my tree. I'll just toss it right in the back of my truck. It was perfect. I don't even need you to help. I'm not tipping anybody. Kate was like, should we give them a tip? I was like, they didn't do anything. We're not giving them a tip. We're just giving them money for our tree. That's all they... And the two like younger guys, they did grab one of their trees and like take it over and throw it in the truck. But I was like, no. Like, we're not tipping them because they didn't do anything for us.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. But
yeah, we got it done. I put my lights up and just did the tree out front and got the tree in the house and found our Santa. And
which tree did you light up out front?
The little dead center. Like the maple. Small. Yeah, it's that small little tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
How'd that... Yeah. Yeah, I was it's funny, I didn't think about it. Like for the last multiple years we've had our tree in the corner of our room. So like, you know, in the corner. So I always just put this when I string the lights, I don't wrap them all the way around. I just kind of go all the way around to one side toward the wall and then I come back and then I go back to the other side and I kind of just back and forth across the front of the tree. And so I did that same thing this year, kind of just going a little bit further back. Because, like, why am I going to walk around the tree and pass the lights over? I'm just going to go back and forth. I never really think about it until you came over on Tuesday. And you're like, you don't have any lights or any ornaments on the back of your tree. I was like, yeah, it's the back of the tree. You're like, from the window, it looks like trash. Like, it's like, you know, there's no lights back there. I was like,
damn, oh, I pulled a trash damn, on the trash.
Right. It's trash. I was like, oh, yeah. Then we walked down. I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. Look at that. It does look, it's just like outlined in lights. It's dark. Although we have our tree topper is a wooden star, which is not lit. So it's like, you know, I would think from the outside, you see the lights because it's not that. I think that takes away from it too. It's like, it's also not lit and the tree topper is not lit from the outside. So it's like, it looks weird. But, you know, no one else is going to see that, you know, like we're not right on a road or anything, so people aren't seeing in that window.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to wrap it around it. Yeah. I feel like you get lights. From, yeah, I just sent Dustin three pictures. Aww.
What's the little baby tree?
That's her. That's Maeve's tree.
Aw, look at that. She got it's her same height, too.
And the funny thing is it's got, like, it's funny or sweet. It's,
why does Maeve have her own tree?
Because she gets her own tree.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently when my wife was a kid, they had their own tree, and they put Disney characters on it. So we actually, Caitlin, we still have the Disney characters she had. It was funny.
Oh,
it was,
yeah,
and,
I see.
And some of them were like from McDonald's. So it's like Happy Meal 1991. Like it's these little. So she's got a Bluey on there and whatever.
Oh, I see the Bluey. Yeah.
And Disney princesses.
And Tinkerbell. Oh. So look at that. I see a little Belle, like Beauty and the Beast and Cinderella.
Yeah. And then there's our tree.
A little star on top.
Lights wrapped around.
Dang, that's a serious star on the top of your tree.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. You know who's missing that one? That one's lit. It's like the whole thing is lit. It's like a balloon, like a star balloon. We actually, our topper is, we got it. It's been a long time. We've had it before Kern was born, so it's probably 15 or 16 years old now. Ancient, but we got it from a maybe farmer's market or something, you know, around Christmas time, and it's a 6-pointed star, and it's all made out of like pine, and each point would originally been like just a long tapered point, but then they you cut into it, like you cut a curl of wood. So you kind of cut down along one side and the wood curls out. And if you do that all the way along, you get all this, like, you know, this outer rim that's all curls. So all the wood is all these like curls of wood, which makes it super fragile. But somehow we have, like, knock on wood, we have like managed to not break off curls, or maybe we've done like one or so, but it's, and originally there was a light that went inside of it, but, it may have been, now that I think about it, it may have been like a Pennsylvania Dutch, you know, market or whatever. Because the light, the actual like base of the light thing is like a weird European plug-in thing. So we'd never been able to find it or buy a new one. And then the light stopped working. And so I was like, whatever. So we just don't light it. So it's like, it's fine. It's not a big deal. You know, like the whole tree's lit up, and then the topper, usually we'll have some lights that go up to the close to the top of it, but the topper's not lit. So just a traditional wooden star, a weird European plug thing and light in it. I was like, what the heck? This is like a Pennsylvania Deutsch.
Your half lit Pennsylvania Dutch tree.
Looks like trash from the outside.
Trash.
From the bay window. It is like the traditional like tree in the bay window.
I'm like, oh, he's got this great window to center up his tree. Like, I wish I had that. And it's like, oh, it's not lit at all in the back.
You're like, you didn't put any lights on the back of your tree. I was like,
there's no lights, like, no ornaments, yeah, right. Nothing. Like,
it's all plain.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
That is what it is. What are you going to do? It looks beautiful from the inside. Especially when you have no power. Obviously, we had no power and the lights were off, but it is nice. So I like each morning I'll wake up, and, you know, at this point now it's, you know, dark in the morning when I get up, and I get Corinne up and we're getting ready for school and stuff, and I'll walk out and I'll just turn the tree lights on. You know, so it's kind of dark in the room, let the dogs out. I'm like, oh, it's Christmas time. That's great. And it's funny, I posted a picture on Instagram of us just getting the tree ready last weekend, and you know, like, it automatically posts to Facebook. So Dad goes, like, he's like, wasn't Nicole doing all the work? He commented on my post. I was like, she's just trimming up the tree. Like, she's just doing the, like, you know, the, like, let me make it look even thing. But it was funny. I was like, don't you worry. I put it in the in the stand. I cut it down. I trimmed it up. I put the tree topper on, put the lights on, you know. That's what the men do.
I want to look. Yeah, I look forward to the days where I sit there and they put the ornaments on.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's what I did. I didn't actually put any ornaments on. Glenn Nicole did them all. It was great.
The women folk.
No, I did put a few on.
I did. I had to put them all on, and I trimmed, and I cut, and I.
Dang, really?
Yeah.
Dang, Caitlin and Maeve didn't help you at all. Maeve was there. They were doing her tree, weren't they? See? There you go.
Yeah. Maeve's not much. Actually, we did it while she was napping.
Nice came out.
We had to get that bad boy up. Yeah.
Well, that's like mom and dad, or mom said that when she was a little girl, like they wouldn't have anything, like no lights, no ornaments or anything, right? Didn't she say they did that all like the night of
Christmas Eve?
Yeah, but like the
idea
was
the idea was Santa. Like,
Santa did it all. Yeah. What? That's insane. Yeah, they would all go to bed. All the girls would go to bed, and grandma, I mean granddaddy, would decorate the tree and do all the lights and do all the presents. Like,
oh my god,
dang, that's a whole thing right there. I don't know about all that.
No thanks.
No thanks. Yeah, no, it was. That's a bit much. Santa doesn't decorate the trees anymore. It's just
no.
That's what mom and dad do. Santa brings the presents.
Yeah, Santa brings the cheap presents and.
Yeah. Speaking of presents, we're doing our Secret Santa again this year, which is fun.
Yeah, I already got my gift.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Wait, you already got your gift for your person?
Yes.
Or you already got your gift? I was like, dang, somebody gave you the gift already. Like, here you go. We're not waiting until Christmas. You need this now. Extra deodorants. No, I have. I'm working on my gift, as you can imagine.
That's how it works. Here we go. Dustin making something for you.
Of course. So, yeah. What better thing to give than something you made? You're like, something you bought. It's cool too.
Yeah, something I bought is super cool.
Super cool.
They're gonna love it.
I bet. I hope so.
They're gonna love it. They better. I love it, so.
Dang. You're like, if you don't want it, I'll take it back.
Yeah, forget it. Here's $20 cash. Scram.
It better not be a new lavalier mic for our channel. You're like, here you go. I know. I love it.
Dustin, the new DJI.
Mavic Mini.
And I'm gonna need that half for it, though, real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to need that half. You pay me next time we get paid from AdSense, you can send me some.
Yeah. You know, just keep 10 extra dollars on your side, and then we'll just call it even.
That'll be your Christmas present.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, no. Nicole went shopping last night. I took her into piano lessons. I took her to Taekwondo, and then I headed home, and I was working on my classwork assignment, and Nicole did a little bit of Christmas shopping and picked up Corinne after Taekwondo at 8 and came back, and she had I don't know what else she bought, there were a few things she bought. She came in holding two like tin cookie tins, so she's like, I got some cookie tins, you know. I was like, you only bought two? She's like, yeah, that's it, right? But it's like for, I don't know what she thought, like maybe she thought it was just for the people we were had our Secret Santa for. I think that's what she was thinking. It was like just our Secret Santas and not for the cookie exchange. So one of the things that we do, the brothers and our families, that we've done for the last couple of years is to do a cookie exchange. So like that's part of the Christmas gift, is you just make a bunch of Christmas cookies and then you divide it up into the three brothers, the four of us, and then
exchange. You know what it, you so. Should do is stop here real quick.
Yeah.
We almost should just, we all bring in cookies, and then we all just take cookies from everyone else. So instead
that's,
of having...
That's what we do.
No, yeah, but we still have to buy, like, containers for everybody.
Yeah.
So then you have a stack of containers. Just everyone bring their cookies, and everyone takes 10 cookies from everybody, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then we don't each have to spend an extra... It's not necessarily about the money, but it's like,
yeah, right.
You're always like, you have like an extra tin and a plastic thing and a bag from someone and this and that.
A bag from Derek.
Derek is somehow in a trash bag. Like, why don't you just use a plastic bag?
He's like, trash bag. In a shopping bag. It's
like the same He's way. Like, I made potatoes and chocolate chip cookies. What do you want?
That's it. This is what you get. Take it or leave it.
Pot of potatoes and some chocolate chips.
He just has them in a stack tied with string.
Dang. Like a hobo stick attached to it.
A red polka dot scarf.
Yeah, everybody make fun of the guy without the wife.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's what I'd be doing too without a wife. I'm like, here you go. What do you want there? Take it.
Yeah. Just bring it on the cookie sheet. Like, all right, take what you want. And you're like, that's what I want to do. You're like, I've been saying this all along.
Fresh off the sheet.
Yeah. No, I like giving it. I like it as like a presentation. I do think that's kind of nice because it's part of like the gift, right? As a presentation. Although I will say that like since Nicole bought two, we have this whole stack
yeah,
of
what
like.
Do you do now?
We actually have a stack of old cookie tins, like the Dutch cookies, you know, like the round tin.
You probably end up giving me my cookie tins back.
Probably. I know we've got plenty of tins from years in the past. Like we got plastic things and tins recycled Eric's, you know, gallon bags. Give him that back. The ones with the star, the like snowflakes on it.
Yeah, he went fancy.
He's like, yeah, I bought the winter ones. Jeez. I like it. I like everyone's like take on cookies. You know, like different families do different types of cookies. You know, like
the
Nicole
worst
and I
years.
Always try to do like some like you know different ones stuff.
Well, you guys always go fancy.
we like to do different stuff.
These are kale, special lemon, taste. Sesame seed, pumpkin spice cookies.
Kale.
Like, dang, all right.
You're like, here's your sugar cookie.
I'm like, boom, yeah. I make fun of their chocolate chip, but those are always good.
Yeah, they are good, yeah. Well, Nicole likes the no-bake cookies.
I made this like one up. It's called a snickerdoodle.
I take just some cinnamon on top. Snickers.
It's a sugar cookie with cinnamon.
Like, I just made this one up.
let's come up with a random weird name, Snickerdoodle.
It's called a Dicker Snoodle. Nah, that's fun. I'm excited. Yeah, I do like that. I like the. We have not a huge family, but when you know, there's like four brothers and wives and nieces and nephews and stuff, it starts to get a bit extreme when you got to make or do, you know, buy gifts for everybody. So I like the Secret Santa. It's nice. We just mix it up with the brothers and sister-in-laws. And it was funny last year. I'm sure we talked about this on the podcast last year, but last year we did the Secret Santa and all the brothers got each other and all the sister-in-laws got each other. Oh, so yeah. Like it was a weird, like it was funny. Like there were no, you know, male to female gift giving. It was all just like the girls all gave gifts to each other. And it was completely random because we just put everyone's name in a hat and we all just pulled them out of the hat when we were at a diner together. And it worked out perfectly. Yeah. It was funny. But this year is not that way because I have a girl. There you go. Hey.
Oh, see.
Don't say.
I have a person.
A person.
A secret person.
Yeah. But it'll be fun. I like doing it. I was thinking about doing a bunch of like artwork and stuff this year to give because I used to do that in the past. I'd make a bunch of different artwork to give out, which I like doing. But yeah, who's got time?
Yeah. I mean, it's nice you'll be home this year. Like we don't have to have your Dustin's family Christmas ends up being like March. All right, you know, we're going to get there finally over. March 3rd. We're all getting together. Christmas with Dustin and Cole.
Sorry, not all of us have in-laws that live in the city or in the state. Actually, all of us do except for everyone else does. You're like, oh, we do.
That's right.
Yeah, well, this happens when you meet your wife at college.
Well, that's
yeah. Yeah, that is, it is like, yeah, it's unfortunate. It used to be nice when Bess and Dave used to live over, my in-laws used to live over in Virginia, so it was only 2 hours. So we could like, you know, we could do Christmas morning, you know, with one family and then drive over and do, you know, go over and spend the night and, you know, spend like, so we would always like mix it up anyway, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving, which we do now, but now with them being like 7.5 hours away up in Vermont, it's a little bit trickier.
Yeah. But
I think this year we're actually going to go up to Dan and Kayla's and Nicole's cousins. We're going to go up to their house and maybe spend the night, Christmas night, like after we all get together and stuff. That's why I was saying like, we're not in a hurry. They're about 2.5 hours north, but, you know, they invited us up for Christmas. So it was kind of nice. We might go up there. We'll have to figure out what we're going to do for sure, but we'll be up at mom and dad's for the morning and the afternoon. We'll just overlap with everybody and then go from there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we talked all about all sorts of fun stuff that not related to making things up. So I guess we talked about the knife for a while. So, yeah. All right. You have a recommendation, Dev?
Everyday Astronaut.
Everyday Astronaut. Yeah, I think the first time I watched him was like a couple summers, maybe summer of 2020. Sorry, I'm just writing it down. AUT. oh, was it? It was like one of the first. Oh, maybe it was when they sent the people up, the astronauts up to the space station. There were like four astronauts that were going up, and it was like the first, one of the first manned missions. It was like the first Dragon, you know, like whatever Dragon yeah. mission for SpaceX. Yeah. I remember watching that and like just thinking about how kind of historic that was. It was really cool. You know, it was like, and it was, and I remember like, we were outside here at our house. It was the summer because we had all been like here. I had like our friends, Kate and Sean and Brian and Liz were over and all the kids were over. And there was like, everyone was in bathing suits cause we had gone swimming and it was hot. And we had brought a laptop outside and we were watching the launch on the laptop. We were all hanging out watching. It was really cool. Yeah. I think that was the first time that I watched Everyday Astronaut. And, his channel is just really good. It's, you know, it's much more interactive. Like he's talking about it and like, you know, the NASA, they have like broadcasters talking about all sorts of different stuff and they do good things. But, I don't know. He's just like a very like interesting person to listen to when he's talking about stuff leading up to it. So, and you can like feel his enthusiasm. So
yeah,
that's cool. So my recommendation this week is Malmasi Fire Arts. So that's Mareko Malmasi. He actually just posted like just an amazing knife that he made, and he actually made it back before Maker Camp. We I guess not really met, but you know, saw and kind of spoke with, you know, briefly with Mareko at Maker Camp. But he posted this really beautiful knife that he did, and it's got a ridiculous mosaic pattern Damascus called hex weave. So it's like it's these I guess like a woven tri-fingered shape. So if you imagine like a triangle but not a triangle, like three arms going out and then they like weave together, and then there's this like lighter pattern in between and darker lines. It's just crazy. It's crazy like what you can do with mosaic pattern Damascus, and Mareko does it amazingly. So if you don't know his work, you can check him out at Malmasi Fire Arts on Instagram, and I'll obviously post that in the show notes. But check his most recent post out. It is ridiculous, and the handle's really cool. It got some really awesome facets in the handle, which I always love, and just a ridiculous mosaic pattern on the blade. So I saw it today, and I even like stopped and I showed Corinne. I was like, "Look how crazy this is! It's a crazy pattern." She's like, "Whoa, that's nuts!" Like, exactly. So yeah. So cool. Check him out. Cool. All right, everybody. Make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube and check out our videos, like and subscribe and comment. You know, we have if you're listening to this on Friday, there'll be a video coming out today, December 9th, the next questions video. And then we're working on the sheep shearing knife video, so that'll be coming out shortly, so you can look for that. That might be maybe next week sometime, the end of next week or the following week. And also don't forget to go over to Instagram and follow both Devin and I. At the Art of Craftsmanship and at the Art of Camera Guy to see some images. I know, Devin, you took a couple pictures on your phone tonight when we were shooting. So we may see those pop up on Instagram soon. And I will continue to post the beers of of Christmas, the 24 beers of Christmas, the calendar, advent calendar of beers. So I'm going to post those each day along with some other stuff. So check that out. And then also, if you want to support us further and if you want some questions answered on the 5 question videos, you can go over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there for as little as a dollar. Everyone over there also gets access to the Discord channel, which you will have access. I keep saying I'm going to put it up, and I keep being super busy, but I have it, and I will put it up. It will be up. I will guarantee it will be up before next podcast. So next time when I say that, it will actually be there. And if it's not, then everyone who's there on Patreon, I'll give a dollar.
So, there you go.
Yeah, right. Send something out. But no, yeah, I'm definitely going to get up. Now, like, again, my class is done, which I've been doing. It's just been taking up all of my free time that we are not shooting. So that's done this week. And I'm very happy about that. So I'll have a little bit more free time to do some stuff like this and really put some more effort. I want to do a live stream before the end of the month. So we'll do a live stream in December leading up to the holidays. And so hopefully we'll see you guys there. And that's about it. All right. Oh, yeah. Devin, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. Everybody else, we will talk to you next time.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.